Now then, our own Anna Sussman is going to kick off the blackout episode from her home away from home, Liberia, West Africa.
The radio station where I worked used to broadcast music out onto the dirt street. Kids would dance together on the roadside. Today the station is silent, and the gate at the entrance is only open a crack. I slide through. Inside, I'm startled to see a very old man, shirtless and fast asleep on a wooden bench. I've never seen him before. He opens his eyes and looks at me, or more, through me, then closes his eyes again and falls back asleep. He's been dropped off here at Radio Basso, a tiny two-room community radio station. The windows are blown out and covered with plywood, and dusty wires hang from the ceiling. The reporters spend most of the day out on the little porch. I sneak past the old man and head out to the porch to find them. A few reporters, James, Muhammad, and Godwin, have been working here for decades. They started the station during Liberia's first civil war. When rebel groups were creeping through the country like locusts, swarming over towns and leaving nothing but carcasses of buildings and stunned widows, James, Muhammad, and Godwin built a radio tower by hand out of scrap metal and bought a little generator. Then they would broadcast information about troop movements and deadly roadblocks. Hundreds of families across the countryside would listen to the transmission, connecting them to one another in the quiet nights of war. More than once, rebels shut down the station. But then these guys would sneak out at night and fire up the generator to broadcast lifelines of information out to remote jungle towns. Then they'd sneak back home. The guys tell me the old man in the hallway was brought to the station last night. He has dementia. He doesn't know who he is, and neither does anyone else in town. We begin to just call him Old Man. Old Man smells like sweat and old skin. His feet are caked with thick cracks and dirt. As the day goes on and the open-air station gets hotter, Old Man wakes up. I ask the guys, what's the plan for Old Man? They say they don't know. Old Man goes back to sleep. I'm working at the station to train local journalists in human rights reporting. But these guys are twice my age. They've survived 14 years of civil war.
The West African country of Liberia has been cut off from the world.
15,000 peacekeeping operation soldiers were deployed.
This war resembles no
other. But what's really happening in Liberia?
Soldiers are everywhere. They're just boys.
They've lost wives and children. They've lived through more human rights abuses than most journalists have seen. Now they're sitting around in the literal ruins of their country, wondering how to rebuild. The other day, we took a motorbike down sandy, washed-out streets to the local prison. The prison itself was just an open-air courtyard with crumbling stone walls, covered with roots and moss, like something out of Tomb Raider. There, we found prisoners who'd been waiting for years for a trial. They just stayed there, sitting in the shade of the trees, all day long. It's the same story everywhere we go in town. The police say they have no guns and no working phone, so no one could even call them for help. The hospital doesn't have enough electricity to store blood. The teachers don't show up at school because they haven't been paid in months. In the beginning, we would write up the stories about the police or the schools or the hospital, but not anymore. Now the station is out of money. So they can't run the generator, so they can't broadcast a signal. For the last few weeks, we've just sat on the porch, watching the town's main street. In the late afternoon, I offer Old Man a donut and a piece of grilled corn. He snatches the food out of my hand, but then he attempts a nod of thanks with his shaky, wrinkled head. At the end of the day, when it begins to get dark, the guys have to decide what to do about Old Man. He's asleep again. They put a bottle of water next to his bench and lock him in the station for the night. Old Man stays at the station for 3 days. The reporters and I sit on the porch. Rainstorms pass through. UN trucks armed with peacekeepers roll by. They talk about the wars, hiding in the shadows of pickup trucks to find information about rebel movements for their broadcast. About how the station used to actually do something. But now there's just frustration and malaise and corruption, and the station is silent. Then James stands up, with a purpose. We stand up and follow him, past Old Man, down the stairs to the generator room. He unlocks the padlock. He grabs the heavy backup generator with both hands and rolls it from side to side, grunting in the heat. He's trying to move any last drops of gasoline to the motor. He gives the cord a pull. Nothing. He pulls, heaves, shakes, until the motor coughs to life. Then we march upstairs to the studio. He puts on headphones, flips on the switchboard, clicks on the microphone, and begins to announce the details of Old Man. He describes his clothes, his language. If you are missing your old man, your old father or husband has gone missing, we have him. Then he plays a few songs and announces the old man's description over and over, until a few minutes later, the power dies out again. We go back to the porch, and as the sun's going down, the station's getting dark, and the market vendors are lighting oil lamps, a woman comes up to the porch and says, "I'm here for my father."
Thank you, Anna Sussman, for sharing your tale.